Squeakobite, ay, ay, ay. Squeakobite, ay, ay, ay. Squeakobite, ay, ay, ay. Ay, ay, yosh. Ay, ay, yosh, ay, ay, ay.
What do you call a boy with no arms, no legs, and an eye patch? His name, you jerk. You're listening to NativeTalk.net. Now grab your nets and let's go fishing.
Good morning or afternoon, whenever you decide to be listening to us. This is the NativeTalk.net radio podcast with Cliff and Brandon. How you doing, pal?
I'm doing real well, Cliff. How are you today?
I am doing good. We are actually not going to have to do a full show because, as you may recall, there are we used to do an alternate podcast called the English Express Radio program.
Well, as you may know, I'm a connoisseur of cannabis, so I may not remember that.
So we are going to talk about, just real quick, about names for the Plains Indians, and then we're going to hear something from our past. What was it? What was that old TV show that was like, you know, do you remember this voice?
Oh, that might have been before my time, man. I was going to go with A Christmas Carol and Ebenezer Scrooge.
Something ghost like that. Okay, so we're going to have the Ghost of Christmas Past visit us. All right, so do you have a Native American name?
No. I only have the name that was given to me from our parents when I was born.
Is that name important to you?
Yeah, I would say so, because it's kind of like like everything that I've done while I've had that name is like mixed into that name. So it feels like a piece of me.
No, I've heard that there are like naming ceremonies where you can actually get a native name as a member of our tribe.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I haven't done a lot of research, and I don't know what that is all about, to be honest. But I have heard that you have, like, a given name, like the one that your parents give you, and then you have a name that you can get in addition to that. Here you go.
Oh, that's cool.
I thought so, too. Well, to the Plains Indians, names were actually valuable property. They believed that some names possessed magical powers. You could actually sell your name, give your name away, or just throw it away. So I don't want that name anymore.
So it's like a title, like a badge almost.
Kinda. A boy usually took his new name when he reached manhood, whereas a girl typically kept her name all her life. She did not change her name in any way when she was married. So a man would be the one to change it based on his attributes, but for a woman, your name is your name. Which
I gotta tell you the truth, man. My wife would have liked that.
Really?
Changing her name to my last name was like the worst ordeal I've ever heard of in changing a name. Just every possible misstep that could have happened totally happened with her, and it was such a pain in the butt. And so, yeah, she would have loved to have that rule. That, you know, it makes sense too, because I know that most Native American tribes were matrilineal, where the family would pass on from mother to daughter.
Yeah, you know? I don't think it was a situation of like the last name, but their actual first name.
Well, what I meant to say is that their role was so important that it was like stable throughout their life, rather than like you're describing with men, they were able to wear a name almost like a different change of clothes, you know.
Oh. Well, when the early settlers translated their native names into English, they made a lot of mistakes, which is shocking because they didn't know English. So I don't know why they didn't have perfect translations. What was wrong with them? The Plains people and other tribes across the country often found this quite funny. They would use the wrong names in their war preparation ceremonies, not to ridicule the owner of the name, but to ridicule their enemy. 1, 2, 3.
I don't get it.
You don't get. Okay, so in other words, let's say I translate your name, Brandon, into. Okay, well, look, here's. It actually has an example here. Sitting right. Bull, you know Sitting Bull, he's the great Sioux leader, okay? Uh-huh. He had his name translated as Sitting Bull because he had a picture of his name that looked like a bull that was Sitting to the early pioneers. So they called him Sitting Bull, okay? But that wasn't his name. It was the bull in possession, which obviously has quite a different meaning. So when they would call him, you know, when fellow tribal, or, you know, like rival tribes would call him Sitting Bull, they're making a joke about it because that's not his name.
I got it. So they would use the garbage translation as the actual name to poke fun at them.
Yeah, he'd be like, hey, Sitting Bull, how you doing, yeah. Sitting Bull? And he's like, shut up, asshole.
I'd want to throw a bowl of porridge at him.
Exactly. Another example concerns a young Dakota Sioux warrior. His name was translated as Young Man Afraid of His Horses, when actually his name was Young Man Whose Very Horses Are Feared.
Oh, he's so scary that his horses are strike fear in your heart.
Yeah, that's but
cooler name
than Young Man Afraid of His Horses. Not as exciting. So, all right. Well, when we come back, we will have a throwback to one of our old shows.
Right, so. A show with a different name, so to speak. Ah, see what I did there? Tied it all together.
Well, let's see how that works. We'll be right back here on the NativeTalk.net radio podcast.
The NativeTalk.net radio program. Always hot, no matter what time of the year. Now grab your nets and let's go fishing.
Our House Grief Support Center's mission is to provide the community with grief support services, education, resources, and hope. Our House, with the support of trained volunteer group leaders, helps those grieving find sweetness in the tears. With your help, you too can become a volunteer and help grieving children, teens, and adults embark on the journey to hope and healing. For more information, visit ourhouse-grief.org or call 888-417-1444.
This is the NativeTalk.net radio podcast. Listen to us or we'll move into your neighborhood. Now grab your nets and let's go fishing.
Welcome back to the NativeTalk.net radio podcast. It is December as we record this, and the Super Bowl is right around the corner, so I have chosen that our throwback is all about the Super Bowl. It's from 2016, as a matter of fact. No. This one is from right before the Super Bowl, February 7th, 2016. So that was when my team, the 49ers, were actually pretty good.
Yeah, they were competing for the Super Bowl around that time. Not anymore.
All right, well, let's hear what that's all about.
Brandon is dancing.
Hey, you know what, listening audience? If you're not dancing, there's something broken inside you. That was some groovy tunes.
So, you ready?
Oh, we're gonna Rochambeau?
We're gonna Rochambeau, dude.
How do you play Rochambeau?
Well, first, let me kick you as hard as I can, Nets.
That would be Cartman from South Park. So, for those of you who might not understand what Rochambeau is, it's also known as paper, rock, scissors.
Paper, scissors, actually. Okay. I found out I've been saying it wrong my whole life.
Okay, rock, paper, scissors. And how do you play, Brennan?
You use your hands in appropriate ways. No dirty minds here. And you basically, you it goes on a three count. It's like one, two, three, go. And on the go, you guys hold up one of three hand signals. Either one looks like a fist, one looks like an open hand that's flat with your palm down, and the third one is like a peace sign that's horizontal.
Okay, now the closed fist, that's rock.
Right.
Okay, and rock beats?
Rock beats scissors.
Rock beats scissors. Paper beats?
Rock.
And scissors beats?
Also rock, because paper is the best. No, scissors beats paper.
Right, so each one can lose to the other and also win the other. So we play and see who has the best hand. And I've got a reason for this. So let's...
We're actually playing?
Yeah, we're actually playing because I got a new story about this. And I wanted to start the show with with this one. Okay, ready?
So we'll go, we're going to go 1, 2, 3, go. And on the go is when we deliver our move. Okay, everyone, stare at your speakers.
Yeah, watch your radios. Play. Okay, ready? Here we go.
All right. Wait.
We got to count 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, you're
that didn't work very well. All right,
you're
okay.
All right,
ready? 1, 2, 3.
Oh, no, it's 1, 2, 3, go. That's what I said earlier.
All right, let's go.
All right.
1, 2, 3, go. I didn't see what you had. You had scissors and I had paper. Well, there's a guy who actually wrote a book about rock paper scissors. It's called Rock is for Rookies, and they say that all men tend to throw rock first. So if you're matched up against another guy, throw paper because you'll probably beat him.
That's really funny that neither one of us chose rock.
Yeah, well, maybe I would have, because it's what men usually choose first, but you didn't go with that this time.
In the appendix of his book, does he actually put me as the winner of this contest?
He should, because...
He needs to know. We need to email this guy.
Well, you're no rookie. You're no rookie. You knew what to do. And women actually throw scissors first, and she's... I'm sorry. She's less inclined to throw rock. You know, women stay away from rock, so you should throw scissors because you'll either tie her or win.
Right, and if you get two women together, they'll just scissor all day.
I hope not too many people understood that.
Google it.
But they says when you're in doubt, go with paper because scissors is thrown the least often of all, only 29% versus the other ones, which are thrown a lot more. So,
which is why I won.
You did. You're the champion with that one.
I should write the book. It will just say play scissors, and I'll charge $19.95.
Yeah, now we're recording this a day in advance, so when it's aired live, what will the day be?
It's Sunday.
Which is?
The day before Monday.
Come on.
I'm right, aren't I?
You're right, but why is February 7th of 2016 particularly special?
The Super Bowl.
That's right. And if I get my... There we go with my music.
Time to dance again.
That's right, the Super Bowl. Now, most people around the world don't know what the big deal about the Super Bowl is. It's just a game. But last week I tried to describe it like the World Cup. Because the World Cup isn't just another soccer match, is it?
I wouldn't know.
Neither would I, but I understand that it's a huge deal. People get hyped up about it. And in America, this American football is it's probably the most popular sport that we have.
It's not just the most popular sport. It is literally the most popular television program ever, every single week. Every single week that a football game is played, there are more people watching football than any other show at any other time during any other week.
And in fact... If you look into American history, and they have the top 10 television programs in history, 9 out of 10 of them are Super Bowls.
See?
And they had...
Is the 10th one MASH?
Yes, it is. Yeah. But that's not going to last. And last year, 114 million people watched the game. That's a lot of people.
Yeah. I haven't had that many people over to my house since, like, last Friday.
You must have an incredibly large house.
I'm just a really good host. Yeah, I had those cocktail weenies. I couldn't keep them off my
114 million cocktail weenies. Everybody gets one.
I had to cut them in half, so, yeah.
So
100 million people is a lot of people to feed.
And here's a couple other facts about the Super Bowl to kind of try to get you to understand what it's all about. It's not just a game. It's a cultural event. Because I think in other countries, the World Cup is still just about the game. But here in America, it's like a cultural thing. Like, everybody talks about it the day after. Everybody watches it. You're a loser if you don't watch the Super Bowl. And
right, and it's not like you said, it's not just the game. It's the party surrounding the game. You get to have food with your friends. You know, if you're really cool, you go and play football with your buddies before the game, you know. And it's more about socializing with your people around this game than it is just the game.
Yeah, and I was shocked when I looked at the numbers that are associated with the Super Bowl. For example, do you remember from a couple of weeks ago how many pounds are in a ton?
3 cupcakes.
Come
Dang
on,
it.
Man.
Is it 2,000?
Yeah, 2,000 pounds or about 1,000 kilograms. Okay, so 1,000 kilograms is 1 ton. Okay, Americans will eat 4,000 tons of popcorn.
Wow.
4 million tons of guacamole.
And how much beer?
325 million gallons of beer.
Which, oh my goodness.
And remember, there's 4 liters to a gallon. So do 325 times 4. That's how many liters of beer. I mean, 325 million gallons of beer. That's insane.
Yeah, it's almost 1,400 million.
Okay.
If I did my math right in my head, which I might be wrong.
Yeah, it's something like that. But
anyway, that's crazy, dude. Do you know how big aquariums are for, like, a whale?
They're big?
I just wonder, can Shamu swim in a tank full of Super Bowl beer? Is there enough beer to fit Shamu?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that plus more. They don't have awesome. 300 million gallons in those tanks. They've got a few thousand.
I don't know, dude. I haven't really researched it in a while. I don't do show prep like Clifton does, so I don't have this stuff ready.
And where are you going to watch the game?
Well, actually, there's a reason that we're recording this show early. In all of my generosity, I work with a dog rescue that's having a really big event. One of our big fundraisers is happening Sunday. So I won't get to get home until maybe 3:30, almost 4 o'clock, which is when the game starts. So I won't have much time for pregame or partying. I'll just be watching the game at my house.
Or what are you going to eat?
Probably just chips.
Okay, well, most people are eating wings. Chicken wings, super popular.
Chicken wings.
Well, 1.3 billion chicken wings will be eaten.
Huh.
Over a billion.
I don't know if I could eat that many in my life. Oh my goodness.
No, you couldn't. And of course, people love to bet on the game too, don't they?
Yeah.
Did you put any bets?
Isn't that one of the biggest betting things ever?
Yeah, they're betting $10 million on the game.
Oh, I want $10 million.
No, not 10 million, 10 billion.
Oh, my goodness.
That's a lot of money.
How much are you putting into that?
Nothing. I do hope you know what? I kind of hope the Broncos lose, but I kind of hope they win, too. Like, I think I would be okay with either way, because Peyton Manning is the quarterback this year for the Denver Broncos, and this is probably going to be his last year, and it would be nice to see him go out with a final win, but it would be so great if he lost as well.
You know, I just have such a distaste for Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers that I don't care who they're playing. I just want to see them get shut down.
That would be nice. That's the other reason why I would like the Broncos to win.
Yeah, it's not going to happen, but I sure wish it would.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot to mention about food, that in America, that is the second biggest date for food, right behind Thanksgiving. Yeah, we talked about Thanksgiving a couple of months ago, and this is number two for food. But back to quarterbacks. There are three quarterbacks. You'll recognize their names. Tom Brady.
Do people know what a quarterback is?
He's the guy who throws the ball and, like, runs the ball.
He doesn't... Oh, come on.
He basically throws it and passes it.
But you said runs the ball. There's a player sometimes. Sometimes when it's a scramble. Basically, what Clifton did a terrible job of explaining is the quarterback is the second person on the team to touch the ball when a play begins. The first player to touch it is called the center, and he's the one that picks the ball up off the ground and passes it between his legs to the quarterback. And then it's the quarterback. He's kind of like the leader of your team. He's the one who tells the other players what play is going to be run. He's the one who knows all of the offense to where he can adjust how they're going to play.
Definitely the most important player of the team.
He's usually the smartest. He's the one who studies the hardest. He usually works the longest hours, and he's the leader of the team. And so that's your quarterback. That's the position Clifton's talking about. And like he said, yes, he also passes the ball or hands it off to other players.
And Tom Brady is probably right now one of the most famous quarterbacks. He's in movies. He's on television. He's married to Gisele Bündchen, the supermodel. And I mean, most people know at least the name Tom Brady, right?
Well, at least in America, I can't really speak for like Paraguay, how well they know Tom Brady.
And you've got the second quarterback is Peyton Manning, and playing for the Denver Broncos right here in my town. And
now, wait, are you saying second quarterback that'll be in the Super Bowl?
No. Second name. I'm going to read three famous names. Okay. So we got Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, and Ben Roethlisberger. Now, you know where Big Ben plays.
Yeah, he plays over in Pittsburgh for the Steelers.
Yeah. Now, in the last 13 years, 12 Super Bowls have featured one of those three guys.
Wow. So for out of the last 13, 12 out of 13 had one of those three guys in the game.
And the only one that didn't have one of those guys was Joe Flacco of the Baltimore Ravens, who beat...
They beat the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, my favorite team. And that was the only Super Bowl in the last 13 years that didn't have one of those three big dudes.
And it was a horrible Super Bowl.
Well, now we mentioned that it's not all about the game. A lot of people watch because the advertising is so big. And I think one of the reasons why advertising for the game is so big these days is because everybody's watching on things online, recording. They fast forward through the commercials. They ignore the commercials. But you can't really ignore them on a live game. And so people spend big money to advertise on the Super Bowl because you know people are going to watch. You got 114 million people who are going to watch your advertisements, and they're spending $5 million for just 30 seconds.
I was thinking you were going to say per second, and I was going to blow my lid, but that's crazy, dude. Did you say $5
million? $5 million for a 30-second commercial.
Hold on for a second. So that's like 10 million every minute.
Yeah. So every minute of advertisement cost advertisers $10 million.
So that's basically the Super Bowl's making $600 million an hour on selling advertising. I want a job like that.
Oh yeah, they're making so much money. It's beyond ridiculous how much money they make, and it's not going away anytime soon.
Now, the really important question here, Cliff, how much of that money is Coldplay getting for the awesome halftime show they're going to
do? None of it. They don't pay them for that. They don't pay them for that.
So the halftime entertainers, they
never get paid. They never get paid.
They started that last year where they started paying them.
No, they tried to get for the performers to pay the Super Bowl.
Oh, okay.
You have to pay to perform.
It makes sense. I mean, how many concerts is Coldplay selling out that has 120 million people watching or whatever that number was?
Yeah, like 114 million people. And but you know, it's so huge to be at the Super Bowl, knowing that many people are watching you, that the performers cannot wait to get in there. Everybody wants to do it because their sales of their music goes up. They've had in the past, they've had Michael Jackson, U2, Beyonce, Janet Jackson. Everybody remembers Janet.
And Justin Timberlake was there that day.
Yeah, when they ripped off her clothes. And Prince, you know, just so many people are
recently
watching.
They had Tom Petty was on there. And of course, did you read Katy Perry? She was on like last year.
Yeah, Katy Perry. I didn't read Katy Perry, but she was there. She was there last year. And Lady Gaga is set to sing the national anthem. Mm-hmm. So it's, I mean, it's big for everybody. If you're not a part of it, I can't even imagine how you would feel on Monday morning if you weren't a fan or if you didn't at least watch it.
And you'd feel left out.
Yeah, nothing's going to happen. And I think that people can relate to this one because even if you're not watching the Super Bowl, sports in other countries are big anyway. And you go watch the World Cup and stuff like that. Have you ever gone to a sports bar to watch a big game?
Nope, never.
And why not?
Because I don't like people.
Okay, but if you did go, can you imagine that there might be some issues or problems if you're trying to go to a sports bar to watch a big popular game?
Yeah, especially if it's something like San Francisco 49ers versus the Oakland Raiders and you show up wearing the wrong colors.
Yeah, but you can imagine it's going to be...
Let me just explain my comments a little bit. Those are both local teams in
the San Francisco Bay Area.
Yeah, and so in my hometown of Sacramento, most football fans here are either a 49ers fan or an Oakland Raiders fan because those are the two closest teams to us geographically. And so that's why I brought those two teams up in particular, because if you show up to a sports bar where you have a lot of fans of the other team and you're wearing the wrong team's colors, those fans are often drunk and very excited, and those two things don't mix very well.
No, they're probably going to beat you.
With the pool sticks.
Bad things happen at bars. Well, the thing is, though, is they're usually very, very crowded. So I've got some tips. If you ever go to a sports bar to watch a game, what you do is you show up a week, 2 weeks before, and you get some dinner, a few drinks, and tip really big. Like 30%. So the servers get to know you. They go, oh, that guy tips pretty good. So then when you show up on the day of the big game, the servers are going to pay attention to you because they go, oh, I remember that guy. You're not just a new face in the crowd. And you'll get served before. And then the crowd is like, why are they paying attention to that dude? You know?
Because they already know.
Because they already know you're going to tip. And then you tip nothing.
That's the best.
Right?
Sorry to all you servers out there. I was joking. That was just a radio shtick.
And then they say it's good to pick a spot. So, like, get a reservation and get a table near the kitchen because guess where all the servers walk by? Yep, so you'll be the first person they walk by and order first, like order early. And when the appetizers arrive, so you order like your wings and stuff like that and say, hey, come back after, you know, the first quarter and take my dinner order. And then you order something else and something else. And it kind of ensures that the food is fresh. So if you make just a giant order, they'll like sit it under the heat lamp and you'll get like, you know, unfresh food. Mm. So, and they say, because you're going to be there for so long, make sure you tip good. I know I was joking about not tipping, but you want the servers to pay attention to you, bring lots of cash.
Yeah, and the only reason you wouldn't is if you literally never plan to visit that establishment again. Because just like Clifton was saying, they might remember you as a good tipper, or if you're a really garbage tipper, they're going to remember that too.
Yeah. Now, the last sports story I wanted to read here, I normally wouldn't read this story, but there's a specific reason. Who is Tony Parker?
Tony Parker is the point guard for the San Antonio Spurs. It's an NBA team.
That's a basketball.
He's also married to Eva Longoria Parker.
Not anymore. Not anymore. Oh. They got a divorce.
Okay. Well, he was married to a woman who used to play on a show called Desperate Housewives, which is horrible, and you probably shouldn't watch it.
Yeah. Well, he's married. He's married now to a French journalist, Francine. They were married last year, and they have another son coming.
Now, yeah, actually, Tony Parker is French. He's a French national citizen and plays for the French team during the Olympics. So yeah, he is
And this is what brought me to talk about this on my radio show. He has a French radio show.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. And he announced the birth on his French radio show. And I saw that. I'm shocked. I'm like, Tony Parker, the basketball player, is doing what we do in French.
That's pretty cool.
So, yeah, and he's going to be playing for France in the Olympics this summer. So,
right. He played, I want to say, 8 years ago as well as 4 years ago. He's been playing for the French national team for the last quite a few Olympics. Great player. Just amazing game manager. If you ever get a chance to watch Tony Parker play, he will teach you how to play basketball. I'll say that much.
Yeah, he's a good player. So I was just shocked that the guy's doing a radio program. It's becoming more popular, you guys. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
All right, that will do it for our show today. Hope you enjoyed the Super Bowl talk and the talk about names. We'll be back next week with more stimulating Native Talk Radio here on the NativeTalk.net radio podcast.
This is the NativeTalk.net radio podcast. You'll find it easier to listen to us with your radio on. What? With radio on. You'll find it easier to listen to us with your radio on. Why is this a joke? Now grab your nets and let's go fishing.